Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Jack Hoffman with Tico's Steakhouse. My dad started our legacy in Ridgeland in 1989, and I'm proud to continue it in Oxford. If you're craving a great steak, a warm atmosphere, or a strong pour, we've got your table ready. Two locations, one legacy, Ridgeland and Oxford. Come taste the tradition at Tico's Steakhouse.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night to this edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky, of course. So glad that you are with me. We got two things to talk about. Wanted to do a special thing on Friday, just didn't have time. After Trinidad Chambliss defeats the NCAA again in court. Now the saga's over in terms of anything getting in the way or distracting or whatever. It's over. And now it just gets to be about football with Trinidad. There's nothing else standing in the way. Nothing else going to bother him between now and the end of the season. And then, of course, this weekend in Oxford, Mississippi State just absolutely handles Ole Miss for three games. And it's not just this weekend. They got beat by Memphis on Tuesday as well. Eight runs across four games, one of them against Memphis, the other three on your home field. Mississippi State just continues to dominate Ole Miss in baseball. It's been a decade run now. What is it, nine series wins for Mississippi State in the last 10? Just absolute dominance and an embarrassing showing by the Ole Miss Bats in particular on their home field. So we will talk about that as well on this edition of the show. I'm so glad that you guys are here. Please don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube, like, leave a comment, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate that. And this edition of the show is presented by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, anywhere in Mississippi. Literally anywhere in Mississippi, if you need insurance, home, auto, life, or insurance for your business. Home, auto, life, or insurance for your business. Give them a call, 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. He's already got award-winning services. He's younger than me, and he's already winning awards for the coverage and insurance that he provides. So check him out. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance. He will take care of you anywhere in Mississippi for all of your insurance needs. So, again, I wanted to do a special video when this dropped, but just did not have time to get to it on Friday. No surprise. I mean, we told you this. Everybody told you this. When Trinidad Chambliss won his injunction, we told you, and again, everybody told you, this is not new. I know a lot of people have been talking to a lot of lawyers throughout this process, and I'm glad that I don't have to do it anymore. Like, I've got a few friends that are lawyers that I talked to during all this. One in particular, I would like to just send him a text and be like, hey, man, how are you? You know, like, how's the family? Like, what's up? As opposed to tell me what an interlocutory appeal is. It'll be nice to actually, you know, like, connect with a buddy again and just kind of see how he's doing. But no, we told you that the NCAA was probably going to appeal. And then we told you that the appeal was likely not going to really go anywhere. So this was not surprising, but we did get the order from the Supreme Court of the state of Mississippi. Josiah Coleman was the presiding justice on this. It is two paragraphs long. I don't even need to read it. The petition to appeal was denied. So the Supreme Court didn't even hear the appeal. They denied the opportunity to appeal because, as we told you, the threshold to even get an appeal heard in the state of Mississippi is extremely difficult, and it was just never going to happen. So this was the inevitable conclusion, sort of. I mean, I guess there's still a case to get to, but that'll be long. The season will be long gone by the time anything else happens here, really. So it's over. Essentially, it's over. And yes, this was expected. No, not a single person is surprised by any of this. This was always going to be the outcome, regardless of how good or bad the arguments are. As we talked about at the beginning, I mean, if the NCAA was going to deny a medical red shirt, again, this is not a Pavia thing. It's not a Betty Yacko thing. It was a medical red shirt thing. And if the NCAA was going to deny that, all it had to do was get taken to court here in Mississippi, and it was going to go this way. So this is not surprising, but what I do think this allows, even if you know what the outcome is going to be, this allows Trinidad Chambliss to just not think about anything else. He doesn't have to talk to a single lawyer anymore. He doesn't have to see headlines about him and appeals in the NCAA and terrible clickbaity, awful graphics by On3. Not the local On3 people. When I talk about On3, I'm talking about national. The clickbait stuff that their social media team does. Locally, you guys know how I feel about them locally. They're working hard and putting out great content, and I'm not criticizing anybody, and I will not criticize anybody local. I like Ben in particular a whole lot. I think, you know, he's really kind to me, and I hope he thinks that I'm kind to him. And not talking about Ben Garrett, what I'm talking about, the clickbait BS graphics that get put out every time something happens with Trinidad. He didn't have to deal with that anymore. It's all gone. It's all clear, done, over, whatever. And now every conversation that we have about him, every conversation that he gets to have now moving forward is simply about football. It's simply about playing this season and bonding with his new teammates and building that relationship with John David Baker. He didn't have to talk to lawyers anymore. He didn't have to deal with this anymore. It is all just full steam ahead with football. And so even though this was the inevitable conclusion, I mean, you guys have dealt with stuff like this in your life, whether it be like a test, you know all the information you studied really hard for, like you know you're going to get a good grade, but you still have to go take the test, and when it's over, you still feel a sense of relief. You know what I mean? That, yeah, I knew I was going to get an A on that test. I knew every single bit of information. I knew the study guide. I did all my flip cards, but you still got to go take it, and then when it's over, you still feel a sense of relief. I wonder if that's kind of how Trinidad is with this situation as well, that he knew he was going to get it, but it still was out there and it still had to happen. And he still had to go to court and he still had to testify. And the NCAA still had to appeal. And you still had to wait for the Supreme Court to get back on that appeal. And then the draft is getting closer and closer and closer. And now all that's just gone. You know, he knew he was going to get an A on the test, but he still had to go take the test. And now the test is over and he can breathe a sigh of relief and just go play football. So that's good news. That's a good thing. There's not much more to add. Other than that, really. So it was just, you know, an expected outcome, but a good outcome for Ole Miss football there. The other thing this weekend is, oh, by the way, real quick, Pete Golding will meet with the media for the first time on Tuesday. So Tuesday night, I'll have press conference clips for you on Tuesday night. There will be, I think, two or three practices in the books by that time. So there will be a little bit of stuff that that he'll get to talk about, that will have happened, that he'll get to talk about. And then this will be the first time that he will meet with the media since Dabo did his thing. And I assume he's going to get asked about it. And when he does, he will have some kind of an answer. So we'll talk about that coming up on Tuesday's live stream, because we'll get to hear from Pete Golding for the first time. Baseball this weekend. I mean, we could go through and recap the games if you want. I think right now it's more of a bigger picture thing. And I'll let the comments kind of run the conversation, because I've seen a lot of them already. A few points of order, though. You should not be surprised by this result. Maybe I am even a little, but this is a really good Mississippi State team. One of the best lineups in baseball. I don't even think Ole Miss really pitched it poorly this weekend. In fact, I really don't think they did at all, as weird as it sounds, because they gave up 5, 6, and 7 runs. But there was so much pressure, bringing one weekend arm back from injury, couple of moments where you may have left a starter in too long. Not may have, it did. But you can't give that Mississippi State lineup anything free. It was always going to be a tough series because they're a really good baseball team. But I'm not going to do a game-by-game breakdown right now, because it's they lost in the same way. They lost in the same way that they lost in Austin. They lost in the same way they're going to lose, or that they lost in Memphis. Lost in the same way they lost to Southern Miss. They lost in the same way they're going to lose more games down the road. They cannot manufacture offense. They cannot score unless they're hitting the ball over the fence, by and large. You know, there's a little hyperbole in that, but not much. They are awful situationally. Four times the bases were loaded today and not a single run was scored. That is almost impossible to do. You could crowd the plate and never swing the bat and probably score a run in those four instances. It is an awful offensive baseball team, and they are more talented than the runs that they are than the offense that they are producing. At least I think that they are, but it doesn't matter because you are what your numbers say that you are, and they are an awful offensive baseball team. And there's going to be weekends where they're going to pitch their way to wins, like the Kentucky series. There's going to be a game here and there where they actually hit the baseball around the yard, like the game three in the Kentucky series, where they manufactured some offense. But it's a horrendous product to watch. The at bats, especially today, felt. And it's easy to say somebody's not competing when they don't hit the ball. It looks bad when you don't hit the ball, but some of those at bats were atrocious today and really all weekend and really all week long. And nobody's getting fired today. Here's what I'll say, and then I'll let the comments drive the conversation. Because again, I don't think it's worth your time to like go through three box scores after they get swept and beat by Mississippi State again. But I mean, Mississippi State owns Ole Miss right now. Coaches change, players change, doesn't matter. They're still winning this series. The proof is in the record. Nobody's getting fired today. Not a hitting coach, I don't think. Not a head coach is getting fired today. So I'm not going to have that conversation right now because that's not happening right now. There's an opportunity because of the way they pitch it that I think they're going to win some series still moving forward. I think they're going to make the postseason. So they're going to have to prove it there. That, you know, it's still March, right? So nobody's getting fired today. So that's not worth talking about right now. But what I'm not going to do and what I'm not going to give into is talk about money. I'm not going to do that. Well, they don't have enough money, or well, their NIL, Mississippi State has more NIL than them. And this year, yes, they do. Mississippi State's roster is more expensive than Ole Miss's roster this year. It's true. There are a handful of teams in the SEC that have more money into their roster than Ole Miss. And then there's a whole bunch of them that are all about the same. But I'm not going to have the money conversation. And here's why I'm not going to have the money conversation. Because when that is what you blame, when that is what you blame for the offense being as pathetic as it is, hitting barely over 200 as a team in conference play, when they've got the troubles in the field that they have too. And it's not just the inability to field a ground ball. It's, as Mike Bianco said to our radio audience himself, it's stupid stuff. It's making wrong plays, bad plays. You saw it in the regional last year. It's carried over into this year. Just stupid, poorly timed, mistake-type stuff that they do in the field that it has carried over. When you tell me that they don't have enough money, you can't compete financially in all three sports, and this is what you mean, the money's not there. What you're implying when you say, when you talk about money, is that they are maximizing every dollar, they're nailing the evaluations, and they are squeezing every ounce of talent that they have out of their team and getting the best out of them, and the only thing that is coming up short is talent. They're maximizing their talent. They're evaluating great. And that talent's just not talented enough to not get swept at home by Mississippi State. That's what you're implying when you talk about money. That's why I'm not interested in the money conversation. Because is this a product of great evaluations or good enough evaluations or lack of funds? No. Is this a product of great development from lesser recruited players that's all you can get because you don't have any money? No. Is this a product of you had to take flyers on bad players out of the portal because you didn't have any money to get good ones? No, that's not what this is. So I am not going to entertain the money conversation. We're not going to talk about money with baseball. Is it the best in the conference? No, it's not the best in the conference. Is it better than Southern Miss and Memphis? And Southern Miss does invest in baseball, but not like Ole Miss. Yeah. Is it better than Murray State? Yes. The problems that they have are not lack of funds. Evaluation, development, approach at the plate, those kind of things are what need to be talked about. I don't want to hear about money. They've got plenty of money to be competitive. And they still can, right? They still they're going to pitch their way into opportunities to win these series. I mean, LSU is talented, but it's Mississippi State, I think, right now is better than LSU. You've got Tennessee, who has taken a step back, but they're tough. I mean, it's the SEC. Everybody's tough. But there's a chance that they can pitch their way to some wins, and they're going to make the postseason. But it's the same problem that is costing them. It's the same issue every week. And unless it dramatically changes, things are going to get difficult at the end of the year. But we're not there yet. But we're not going to talk about money on Sports Talk Mississippi, and we're not going to talk about money here, because that's not why they got swept by Mississippi State this weekend. Not in the manner in which they did anyway. It's not money. So we're not going to talk about it. We'll read your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day, every single day. It's in the name, and they'll treat you just like they do me, because they make you their priority. 16 locations here in Mississippi. Local loan servicing and decision-making. A great online banking platform. It's in the name. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. First comment, why does this baseball team think they only need to try and hit home runs instead of singles, doubles, etc.? The four times bases loaded without plating a single run is one of the more egregious things that you've ever seen. I mean, that's hard to fathom that they are capable of doing that. But I mean, and it's this is a very elementary thought. There are smarter baseball people that you can get more depth of thought on this stuff than me. I would like to think I do other stuff well. Baseball, in terms of like breaking down individual players, after a weekend like this, I'm not interested in that. Other people can do that. I'm not. And that's not a criticism, by the way. I'm just not interested in that. But right now, you've got a guy like Dom Decker. Why does he have five home runs? He had, what, 350 last year? Absolutely killed you in the regional. Didn't have a home run. Why does he have five? Did you change something about him? Like, what happened there? He's not hitting for average the way he did it. And again, I know he played lesser competition, but he hasn't been good in the non-conference either against the level that he's used to. Federico hasn't gotten any better at all. Folly obviously really struggling, barely over 205 right now. I mean, this is going to be kind of unfair maybe, but has Will Furness gotten better? Maybe that's an unfair question. Has Braden Randall gotten better? Folly clearly has not gotten better. Has Judd Uttermark gotten better? Or is he what he's been? Maybe he has. I don't know. But I know this team strikes out way too much. They don't manufacture offense. It feels like at times every single player is trying to hit a five-run home run. And you have no good options in the lineup right now. Two players hitting over 300, and one of them's at 302. It's there's something amiss there. Thank goodness this is going to be about Trinidad. Well, to start anyway, coming from a State fan, how do you look at Ole Miss's schedule and think they win another series the rest of the year? I mean, they did beat Kentucky last week, right? And I think that, especially when healthy, they've got a pitching staff that's going to keep them in a lot of games. You saw that on Friday. I mean, Elliott shut down an elite offense almost the entire time. Again, he probably was in a batter too long, but you know, I'm not making $2 million to make those decisions. I'm just a guy. It's easy for me to say, sitting where I'm sitting, I guess. But I think they're going to pitch it well enough to win some of these series, and they do have guys that can hit home runs. And when they do, you know, Friday happens, right? They obviously didn't win that game, but they were three outs away from doing it because of a well-timed home run. So stuff like that. State's one of the best teams in the country. I don't think they're going to play another team in the regular season as good as Mississippi State. I mean, Baseball is volatile, but it's Omaha or bust for State. They're too good to not have that be the expectation. What's your impression of them without McPherson? One of the best teams in college baseball. With McPherson back, they're a title contender. They should be. Look at them. Look at that lineup. I mean, just clean work of Ole Miss this weekend. Did you watch the end of UConn-Duke? Just hold on to the basketball. That's all you have to do. Just hold on to the basketball. That's a pick-your-poison thing, though. I don't want to see Hurley win. I don't want to see Duke win. So, a lot of people are starting to talk about Bianco. Are we sure they want to make a move in baseball when they need as much allocation in football as they can? Here's the thing. Baseball does pay for itself at Ole Miss, though. It pays for itself. So it's not like you're taking money from football and putting it into baseball that's losing money. Baseball does not lose money at Ole Miss. So every dollar that's invested, you get at least that dollar back from baseball. So it's a little bit different. Only, very small number of programs in the country can actually say that, but at Ole Miss, you can. So, no, I don't think you would be taking money from football to do that in baseball, but we're far away from that conversation right now. We're far away from it right now. As much as Ole Miss has invested in baseball, the past three teams are inexcusable. This team has clearly been exposed by better teams on what they struggle with, and now at 3-6, they are a series loss at Florida, who swept Arkansas away from this season potentially falling apart. Don't want to use the Q word. It kind of felt today like that was a team that quit. Again, it's easy to say that when you're not hitting the ball. It looks like you're not trying when you're not hitting the ball. That looked like a team that had quit today, though. Can't believe how many people online were acting like the NCAA was going to win and Trinidad wasn't going to play. Awesome, because people are stupid. Sorry. I mean, truly, so many... And look, like random anonymous Twitter accounts, I would just encourage everybody to not consider what they say about anything. Like, don't even care. And that's look in the mirror advice for me too. I need to do that. I need to look in the mirror and not engage in stuff like that too. That is a me problem. Especially when they get personal and bring your personal life into stuff. That happens all the time. And it's gross. Especially when they involve innocent people that aren't me, but that just kind of shows what a sad, pathetic little life that those people live, and I get caught up in that sometimes. But media pretending like there was a shot was just proof that people don't actually think about anything or don't actually, read about it, or they don't, like, hey, I know there are media people that follow me that were reacting to this uninformed. Send me a message, man. Like, hey, what's the... There was one that sent me... he's been a guest on the radio show often, did send me some questions like, hey, what's the feeling? What's it like? Help me understand. And he was one of the few that did not react to this at all. It's amazing when you... He did it privately. I'm not going to say who it was, but it's amazing though when you just ask some questions, you don't look dumb when you react to things incorrectly. It's amazing. And he was right as a result, because look at what happened, but whatever. And what else is a shame is that I talked to plenty of people who were not surprised at all that they were non-competitive on Saturday and Sunday. A sweep was partially expected, especially after they lost Friday. Next week and have to win at least one game in Gainesville. They need to get out of Gainesville 4-8 in league play. Then the LSU series in Oxford the week after is going to make or break the team. Yeah. The hitting situation has to lead to a change there, but is it really too much to say that this could snowball into a situation where they are in danger of missing the postseason? You watched them play today. I know you did. Absolutely. This could snowball into something like that. They need to get up off the mat right away. I mean, it has to happen this weekend. Or else, yeah, snowballing can happen. Friday night sucked because they should have lost the game, but then took the lead. Don't care if you're playing the Dodgers. You have the lead at home going into the ninth. Get three outs. Couldn't do it. The inability to create runs is genuinely unbelievable. You'd think they'd stumble into creating runs at some point. Game three against Kentucky. Losing to State like Bianco does every year is obviously not ideal, but this week with the Memphis midweek highlighted a bigger problem with the program. State's really good. Thought Ole Miss pitched it good. State didn't run away with anything. They just let Ole Miss flop out there. I tell you, that is one of the best lineups in college baseball. That's not hyperbole. Go look at their numbers. You guys saw them play this weekend. They're elite. This week has shown everyone that outside of two batters, they're incompetent at the plate. Also, the great pitching they've had has been exposed the last five games, giving up 9, 6, 5, 6, and 7 runs. Again, I do think this weekend, there's a couple of spots where maybe they could have given up fewer runs. But, man, when you're getting no run support at all, it makes your job even more difficult. And remember, they're nursing a guy back from injury and had to shake up the weekend rotation a little bit. And just find a way to get to 15 league wins. Oof, I don't see that happening. I hope I'm wrong. I don't see that happening. Getting swept is unacceptable. Yeah. Don't want to move on, but if they miss the postseason, you have to start the discussion. Yes, you do. It's a long way away, but yes, you do. Ole Miss recruiting approach has to change when it comes to hitters. No one is developing. Why should anyone sign with Ole Miss as a hitter? And also, how has Bianco not fired Clement yet? If this continues, that is the bare minimum at the end of the season. 6 runs in 3 games. Think about how many times they struck out looking. I wish I could give you the strikeout looking numbers, but here are just the strikeout numbers for you. All right. Friday night, Ole Miss struck out 11 times, and that was their best offensive night of the weekend. Saturday, keep it up in your head, okay? 14. So 11 plus 14 is 25. So it's 25 strikeouts in 2 games. And Sunday, 14. 39 strikeouts. Looks like they're in for a long spring summer, counting the days until football. At least spring football is here, right? Yeah. Saw people roasting or complaining about the crowd. It was pretty full Friday, which tailed off with bad weather. Yeah, the rain came. Saturday was great, but there was nothing to cheer for. And then, I don't blame the Sunday crowd for being bad after what they witnessed the first 2 days. Don't blame them at all. Don't blame them at all. Don't blame State fans for being happy. They haven't beaten Ole Miss in football since Mike Leach. They've picked baseball as the sport they want to win in, and they are winning. I'll give them credit. Here's the thing, though. Before they injected all of this with Brian O'Connor into the program, they were still beating Ole Miss. You should never make anything about just your rival. Like, you don't make coaching decisions based off of how they perform against one team. But State's changed coaches. Doesn't matter. They've changed players, obviously. Doesn't matter. Still beating Ole Miss. Is it a coaching issue or a lack of talent issue or both? I refuse to go lack of talent. I refuse. Now, there are, look, maybe if you're talking about talent ceiling, maybe there are other teams that have a higher talent ceiling. But to me, if you're going to tell me that this team's not talented enough, you're telling me that they are being maximized right now. Are they? Do you see that they're getting every drop of talent out of this roster right now? Team who relies on the home run hit 2 this weekend. Whew. 36 and 63 in the SEC in the last 4 years. Wow. Why is there such an uproar from Georgia and Texas fans? I didn't know Texas fans were mad from the Chambliss ruling by the Supreme Court. Like, I understand LSU fans, but come on, everyone they play against seems pretty upset. Fred, you answered your own question. Why are Georgia fans upset that Chambliss is playing another year? Why? I'll give you the exact day. Because on November 7th, they have to play him in his home stadium. That's why Georgia fans are upset. Uh-oh. What's going on here? There we go. Why are Texas fans upset? Because on October 24th, they have to play against him. That's why. Why are LSU fans upset? Because he told Lane no. And also on September 19th, they have to play against him. Who are the... I'm not going to talk about replacements right now. It's March. I'm not going to do that. That's a conversation for when it becomes more real. And that's not a thing that's happening right now. So I don't mean to be flippant. Sorry to just be dismissive, but we kind of do that. It's kind of like our standing policy on the radio show. We're not going to talk about replacement candidates of a job that's not open or coming open yet. You know, there's still a lot of baseball that needs to be played first before we get to conversations like that. You'll take UConn over Duke any day. I tend to agree there, though. I do. Yeah, the missed opportunity that Bianco had in the postseason last year was, yeah, should have hosted a super regional. Should have. They haven't done it in a long time. 2009 was a long, long, long time ago. To take on the football schedule this year, thinking 10-2, maybe 9-3. Also, do you see ESPN pre-rankings? They have them at 16th. I'm okay with 16th. It is a new coach. That is new. I would put them higher. I think the roster is better than that. I don't think enough credit is being given to what all they return and also what they've done in the portal. Because when you're building roster, it's not just how good your portal class is, it's what you're able to retain. And I don't think they're getting enough credit for that. The schedule is more difficult. There's no other way around it. I think Louisville's good. That will be a big test. You got to go to Gainesville after LSU. That's a weird spot. I don't like that spot. Luckily, Vanderbilt is without Pavia. They'll be starting a true freshman and you get them after a bye. But I mean, you got to go to Austin. You got to go to Norman again. You got to play Georgia again. It's a more difficult schedule. I think anything short of 9 wins would be a massive disappointment, though, barring injuries and things like that. I mean, if it's just a normal season, this roster that they put together is too good to be okay with losing 4 games. Hated to see the stands empty midway through Friday. Whether or not, didn't feel like home field advantage. Were you sitting out there? It was cold and raining. It was cold. I'm a wuss, though. I'm a wuss about cold. So I sympathize with that a little bit more than you do, because there's no way my butt would have been sitting in cold rain like that. Ain't no way. But I'm also not, again, I'm kind of a wuss. So, question about his program. Where do you think the actual stature of it is in the SEC? Are they just middle of the pack program now or below that? Because the SEC record since 23 is acceptable. Right now it's about middle of the pack, maybe even below that. I mean, what the results? What after the national championship, and I know that's a big qualifier because it's a national championship. But after the national championship, they have been the worst team record-wise in the SEC for the 2 years following, lost to Murray State in a home regional, and now they're 3-6. That's where they are right now. You are what your record says that you are. College sports have shown how much coaching matters, A&M, Kentucky, basketball, Oregon, etc. How much of a concern do you think there should be about a drop-off of the program with Pete? Look, there are some people that I think are going to not lie, but get caught up in everything and say that, oh, there's nothing to worry about. It's going to be 100% fine. There is no way that this can go wrong. I think that it will go well. I think that he's kind of built for this. I think that he has learned from the best. And when you hear other coaches talk about him, besides Dabo, he's ready for it. He's built for it. Listen to the way players talk about him in particular. I mean, listen to what Micah Pettis said about him, an offensive lineman who transferred out. Again, Golding defensive coordinator, and what he had to say about him. So, like, when you hear people talk about him, he's not going to be overwhelmed by this. It's not going to be a Zach Arnett situation. Zach Arnett was not prepared to run a program. Pete Golding's prepared to run a program. But it doesn't mean it's going to work. You know, there are guys that Billy Napier was prepared to run a program, and it didn't work. You have a lot of examples like that. And then you also have examples like a Marcus Freeman, a Dan Lanning, et cetera. You hope that Golding falls into that category, of course. But to say that there is no chance this doesn't work is crazy talk. Of course, there should be something in the back of your mind that's like, oh, I hope so, because there's a chance it does not go well. No hire is ever a no-brainer hire. Even Lane Kiffin at LSU is not a 100% chance that it works, and it could not possibly fail. That's not even one like that, even though, again, I'm sure people down there will tell you he's going to win 5 national championships and be the greatest coach of all time. Same thing here. I think he's going to do well. From hearing the way people talk about him, it tells you a lot. He managed and handled the playoff deal and the assistance and all that BS unbelievably well. So there's a lot to like, but to have no concern, that's a little crazy. Who do you think will be the sack leader this year? You'll put your money on Perkins or Purchase. I don't yet know what Perkins' role is going to be. People keep saying that he had a bad season last season. He did not have a bad season last season. I don't know why people say that, because he didn't have a bunch of sacks. He was really good in the role that they asked him to be in. He's really good in that role. I wonder if that's going to be him again, though. Is he going to do more stuff in coverage, which he did a very good job in, by the way? People like get mad at Golding about what he did with Will Anderson. I'm sorry, where is Will Anderson and what is he doing now? That seemed to have worked out. That made sense. When they asked Perkins to be in coverage, it worked. He did a good job there. So is he going to play still a more traditional linebacker, or is he going to go back to edge? I know he's apparently gained some weight, but he still gained weight to be linebacker weight, not edge weight. I think I would bet on possibly Franklin to be the sack leader. Where's LSU getting this money influx from? Children's hospitals? I don't know. I don't know where they're getting this money influx. The governor's involvement, however big or small, would concern me. But also, I'm the type of person that doesn't want government involved in sports, because I think that government can't govern well. And so if government can't do government stuff well, why would I want them involved in sports as a general principle? If Tate Reeves, even if it was helping right now, was involved with Ole Miss sports or Mississippi State sports, I would not like it. It would bother me, because not only do you have more important things to deal with, I also don't trust you. So it's working out now. He got them Lane, and he gets to do his Foghorn Leghorn press conferences, and that's great. And it may work out for him. And, you know, then it would be a good bet. I wouldn't want the governor involved in my sports teams. Yeah, I mean, between $250 and $300 million for football and basketball. these teams. Not in perpetuity, these teams. It's a lot of money. It better pay off. Yeah, they had an edge tear in ACL. That sucks, man. You hate it for the young man. It's just terrible. What's your opinion on the Tiger Woods situation? I mean, I have a lot of them. You know, he's clearly not a perfect person. And I'm not going to make light of somebody that's clearly battling with substance abuse issues. So I'm not blaming people in his life for not helping him, because it's his responsibility, right, to not get behind the wheel when he's been under the influence of something. This is not the first accident he's had, and he's also been arrested for DUI before. Some of his TV appearances as of late have looked like he's been off. But some of the reaction to it, I thought was insane. The Barstool guy, I thought was pathetic. That is just, number one, you operate a huge golf brand, telling your social team not to make any posts about it and then bragging about it because you want me on that wall. The man flipped his car in a residential neighborhood for driving recklessly again. Like, he's putting not only himself but other people's lives in danger. And when you scroll on this guy's feed, he's retweeting the lasting image of Olympic hockey, which was the team after winning gold bringing the children of a deceased player who was killed by an impaired driver. So it's not funny. It's not, oh, I got to protect him because God, I love Tiger. And then the other reaction of, oh, I'm surprised. This is so surprising. I'm shocked that he would do this. I can't believe, I can. There's been signs for a long time. And the golf and social media have just kind of been taking from him for a long time. And he's a human being, man. And he's got an issue. And I think it was Brendan Porath of Shotgun Start that said it perfectly. Even if they're not doing it intentionally, people have been pushing him out there constantly, even though clearly they've known that the pushing is probably not what's best for him. Sucks. I mean, he is responsible for his own actions, right? I'm not blaming other people. It is his responsibility. But the reaction and the way that people pull from people like him, and then some of the reaction to the news was, you know, he just needs to stop with golf. Get out of the public eye. Get the help that you need, because you almost killed yourself. You lost half of your leg. And if you keep this up, you're going to kill somebody else. You will. What's your prediction after this weekend for Ole Miss baseball? That may be quite a big question for now. It's a huge question for now. I think they'll sneak into the tournament is what I think they'll do. Yeah, it's not surprising. It's sad. It's so sad, man, because he was larger than life. Still is in a way. My God, TGL, he plays a TGL match to get 1 million people to watch it. Simulator golf, because it's him. He just needs to go away for a while. Like, really go away. Take care of yourself, man. You've got young kids that are growing up fast. Don't be the golfer anymore. Go be dad. Go be dad. You don't need to try to play in the Masters. You're done. You don't need to play on the Champions Tour. You're a billionaire. I know you love to compete, but compete in other stuff. Design courses. Have your clothing brand. Go be dad. And take care of yourself. It's weirdly emotional. Sorry. But I grew up watching him, man. I mean, he was one of the rare people that can get the entire sports world, everybody, and casual people to consume golf. Everybody knew who he was, and he was a spectacle. Scottie Scheffler is unbelievable. He's not a spectacle. Golfers and golf fans love Scottie Scheffler. Everybody loved Tiger Woods. But those days are done, you know? And it's his fault. All of it is his fault. All of it. Every accident, everything. All of it is his fault. So go figure that out. In your post-playing career, you can come back and be a model for, you know, being a star, crashing out, and showing people that you can crash out, you can make mistakes, you can get better, and here's how you do it. Because like Gary Woodland today. Gary Woodland, if you guys aren't familiar, and I know we're way off the rails, but we're 48 minutes into it, so who cares? He had brain surgery, had a mass on his brain. And after that happened, he fell into some severe PTSD, like mental health issues. I think one of the quotes from his interview at the Players, where when he opened up about it for the first time, really. I mean, the surgery was years ago. He has it won since 2019, the U.S. Open, and you know, having to come back from brain surgery and get back on tour is remarkable in and of itself. But I mean, I think he said at one point that he just felt like everything was going to kill him, and he couldn't get past that feeling of like he's anxious, he's scared, he's all these things, and it was destroying him. And he talked about that at the Players just a couple weeks ago. And what a guy like Gary Woodland, and he's not Tiger Woods, but what seeing a professional golfer, after he wins today, he's crying, he's hugging his wife. And in the interview, he's like, I hope somebody can watch this and know that it gets better. You can do this. And having a guy like that come out and say, yeah, I struggled badly and I've had awful thoughts and I've been at the bottom and look at where I am now. And I hope one of you out there can take this. And that's what Tiger Woods can do now. It's different because it's not a brain tumor. It's clearly issues with substance abuse. But he can be that guy now. Like, go win at that, you know? How powerful would that be for young men that are dealing with substance abuse issues to see? And I know he's been to rehab, but that's not the same, man. To be, hey, I was there. Did you remember? I got in two car accidents because I couldn't stop. I had weird appearances on TV because I was hooked on stuff. And now look, here's how you do it. Here's what you do. You do this. I don't know how to do it. But here's how. Here's how I got through it. What a great legacy that would be to leave behind for him, on top of being, I think, the greatest golfer to ever live. I know he never caught Jack's record, but I don't care. He was the most dominant golfer to ever live. So I hope he figures it out. It's a very interesting way to end the podcast. But I mean, on Friday when the accident happened, I mean, it's Friday. We're in Mississippi. Sports Talk Mississippi, our statewide radio show, me and Brian Haydad. And we're getting texts all show about Tiger Woods. I mean, he's 50 now, right? Isn't he 50? Or 51? He's 50, on the nose. Yeah, he's 50. And, I mean, he won the Masters, 2019? He hadn't been relevant on the course since then. And yet we're still on a Friday before the in-state baseball series getting text all day about Tiger. The way he moved the needle is just rare in sports. So awesome with the super chat. Thank you, man. Really, really appreciate you. You're too kind, my friend. Don't know what next week's schedule looks like, but I'll say this now. Borky chat, et cetera. Happy Easter. He lives. Happy Easter, Austin. Really, really appreciate you, man. Really, really appreciate you. I think we'll still go live on Sunday night. FWIW. But there you go. I appreciate you guys. Really, really appreciate you. We'll be back on Tuesday. Spring practice. Pete Golding. We'll get to hear from him for the first time. And yeah, man. I'll see you guys then. Enjoy the rest of your night. I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.